Well, hello. God bless you. So glad to be here preaching by faith again, trying to let you know that Jesus is real and he wants you to know he's real when you open up your heart to hear what he has to say. And he is the truth. He is the light. And we're here with gospel for the glory of Jesus. And I'm so happy to be able to be a part of what God is doing with us. And I want you, if you would, turn to your Bibles to John chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. Oh, I can't hear you. I guess I better get there so I can say amen. Okay, John chapter 3. I'm in the King James. It's that famous chapter that deals with you must be born again. We're going to talk about that. But before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we're again so glad that you allow us this privilege to be able to tell others about what you have done for us, how you changed my life and the lives of others through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it's coming to a time, Lord, that when you return, Lord, people who are lukewarm and backslidden, if they just remember, when they see the things that you said would happen, they would look up in the clouds on that cloudy day and they say, help me, Lord, save me, Jesus. And that might be just enough to bring them into eternal life. But Lord, I just want you to let them know, don't cut it too close, because you're coming back soon. Now forgive everybody that's out there listening to my voice. Lord, help them to know they need to repent and to be forgiven. Lord, that they might keep their relationship right with you. And I thank you. Who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to look at John chapter 3. Start out with it because I want to let everybody know. I've been going back to the basics at church, going back to the basics with everybody. I'm not assuming that anybody and everybody is saved who say they're saved. And sometimes we have to do like it says in the Word, we have to renew our minds and not be conformed to this world. The world today is getting to the point where they just believe and receive everything that the world is saying. And some believe that life here in this world is even better than heaven. Some even call the Bible foolishness. They don't even trust the Bible. In California now they have legislation that's to set up to keep you from being able to buy certain books that, just like the Bible, try to convince you to live a life that is pleasing to God rather than man. But we don't realize that love of the world is enmity with God. That means we put a wall between ourselves and God because we trust the world more than him and his word. So, oh Lord, we're praying for them right now and asking you, Lord, to give me the words and give me the wherewithal to bring them to the truth. Just like Pilate, he said, what is truth? And when he looked into the eyes of Christ, he knew he was the truth. Amen. He was the truth in human form. He was a letter and a book that you could read, a man that you could read and know that he was the Son of God. It says here in 3:3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking about Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is the first answer that Jesus gave to Nicodemus, who was a doctor of the scriptures. of the word. He knew the word. He knew the commentators. He had to have memorized the Torah and everything that they learned while they were in captivity. And here it says, the Lord says, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And I'm always trying to get people to understand, what is to be born again? It's a renewal of your mind. It is a coming together of you rather than you being a separate entity from God, that you end up coming into union with God because he has come into union with you through his seed, the seed of his word. You've heard what was said about Jesus and Jesus, whatever it was that you were seeking, and you found out that Jesus fulfilled it. That's what God is able to do, to fulfill everybody who's on all these different journeys. But we're all on a journey to life and seeking God to see if he is truly ultimate reality. See, God can change reality. He can change someone who they said is going to die tomorrow and making them live forever just through you knowing and trusting his word. Because you know what? That's how a man is known today and was known then, by their word. And here you hear Jesus saying, verily, 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 I say unto thee. And you know what's going on right there? Jesus is swearing. He's saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you with all my might that this is the foundation truth that you need to know if you are going to have eternal life. And then here comes Nicodemus coming back trying to be sassy because he's a doctor now. He's embarrassed because he don't know what it is to be born again. And of course, we know it might be a biblical idiom. It might be a way of speech of saying that you must come to the truth. You must have a new mind. You must have a new heart. It's when heart and mind comes together over the truth. And you know that 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 you've heard the truth. And you know that you have touched the face of God with your fingers of your heart. And you realize that, wow, that's the only word that can come up other than awesome. Wow, I didn't know. I didn't realize. I didn't reckon that this is the truth about God, who I cannot see, smell, touch, or feel with my hands, but who I can feel with my spirit. Because when you're born again, what happens inside? A miracle happens. The seed of God penetrates your heart, and all of a sudden, your spirit comes back to life because your spirit was dead. Your spirit was dead. We were made in the image of God, and yet we were not able to perceive God because the part of us that perceives God was dormant, dead. The Bible says the minute that Eve ate of the fruit and Adam ate of that fruit, they died. And they didn't realize it. They thought, wow, we're still here, but something's different. Oh, they didn't realize that they had killed the spirit. It was almost like they killed the spirit. It was spiritual suicide. They had taken a poison pill and didn't realize they had shut themselves off and cut themselves off and put a wall between them and God. Yet he still was seeking to love them and save them. He already had it in the beginning. So we see Nicodemus trying to be a smart aleck, asking, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, for sure, I'm telling you the truth. I'm swearing, you know, like some guys used to say when I was growing up, I swear to God that it's true. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that's talking about the water breaking of a mother. When her water breaks, again, we slide down that that first water raft ride we ever had, into reality. On the way from the womb into the tomb, and between those two, we must make a choice. Will it be Christ or will it be me? Will I believe in myself and what I think I know, or will I trust Jesus Christ, who is God, who came for God, and was sent by God? And God lived inside of him and guided him through the world, because Jesus only did what he said he saw the Father do. Almost like the Father, and don't you guys, scholars, go and beat me up. It was almost like the Father was inside of him, like the Holy Ghost is inside of us, directing Jesus throughout the world. He said, I don't do nothing unless the Father tells me and shows me. And that's the way we want to be. That's the way I want to be with the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit shows me and prompts me, I want to do it. I want to be obedient to do it or say it. So we have here us coming to understand that you must be born physically, and then you must be born spiritually. And when you do that, you become a new creature, as it says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 5:17. You become a new creation. Now, here's a strange thing. Once we get saved, we become something that never existed before. A whole new creature, a whole new creation. We're not man, we're not God, but we're in something new, something that's never been seen before. We have the power of God, and we're able to enjoy the things of the flesh. We can enjoy marriage, and that's what really was the thing that really caused the angels to fall. They saw women and went crazy, just like some of us do too. But anyway, y'all forgive me now. Y'all know I'm still flesh. I need help. But God is wanting to teach us and let us know. If you trust me, if you believe me, if you have faith in me, if you come to love my son, anything you ask me, I will do. I'm still trying to perceive them. Wow. So I'm very careful when I ask the Lord things. I want to make sure I'm asking of his will, because I know if I do, that I will get what it is I'm seeking. So we're here, Nicodemus, he's telling us, don't marvel, don't be upset, don't be surprised when I tell you this, that you must be born again. You've got to trust me and know that this doctrine is like the wind. You, in verse 8, you can't control God. You can't control the wind. You can't control it. So it is this with those who are born in the Spirit. You'll become someone who no one really could control. And that's what God wanted us to be able to be, is people who have free will, who had this thing called volition, that would give us power to believe him so much that with him on this earth, we can do the impossible. We can live the impossible life. I love that song, The Impossible Dream. But boy, the impossible life is something that we need to really seek to do in a world like it is today. When we see the time growing short, we ought to really be seeking to do the will of God with all of our heart, mind, and strength and soul. And that is by loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Okay. So I want to go down to John 3:16 so that we can understand from here what it is God is seeking of us and wants us to do. He's given us a symbol before his time. See, Christ had to live until the crucifixion, because otherwise they would have killed him before he was able to prove the point of what God wanted to send him there for. And that is to be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And in 14, it gives here a little pre-image of that. It says, look at 14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. There was an attack of snakes, and they were really like, they were on the ground, I think in the book of Numbers. And Moses saw the men, I think there had been some sin committed in the camp. And these snakes or parasites were able to come up through the people's feet into their legs. And it was something that was just totally just painful beyond belief. And when I read about it, the medical way that they used to have to get rid of those things, those parasites, was you had to take what they called wormwood. Wormwood was a real bitter drug that they would have to take, and it would purge these parasites out of their system, out of their bodies. And Jesus is saying that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That he was this same, this snake that Moses had put on this brass cross, staff, that was in the sign of a cross. That when they looked at that, he said that they would be saved, that was the cure. And they had to believe. They had to believe enough to not be so jumping around with all this attack by this serpent, these snakes, these parasites, so that they could be cleared of them, they could be purged of it. And it's almost like being purged of our sin. And so he says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Look at 16. It says, so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. I think that this verse has gotten to the point where people don't even hear it, believe it, understand it, or seek to know it, because they're so used to hearing it. And in it is the words of life. We got to know that God loves us, and that word love has been so diminished and destroyed by Satan, because they turned the word love into sex, a sexual or natural thing. And we're talking about this supernatural love that God is able to give us when we believe and trust in him, that he gave his only begotten son. And when you believe in him and trust in him, that power is transferred into us to have agape love, the kind of love that God uses to flow through us. And as it flows through us and saves us, It flows from us, heart to heart and breast to breast. It flows. It's not head knowledge of God. It's not just knowing about God. It is knowing God through relationship. He makes us able to have a knowledge of him, a relationship with God the Father. You can't even have a relationship with anybody who's in high government or who has all this power or some corporation head. You have to make about 20 different appointments just to make sure your letter gets through to them. But with God, instantaneously, you can seek him through prayer and have, with the one and true God, you can have a relationship with him when you trust Jesus Christ, who is the door that you got to go through to get to him. And only Jesus will open that door. And only faith or trust in him allows him to open that door. But you also have to open the door, or Dallas as it is in Hebrew. Open the door to your heart that he can come in. But here's the other verses that we don't look at. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. See, sometimes when you don't make a decision, you made a decision. And that's the problem with a lot of folk. They want to live in the world and they want to live in a church. And it leaves you a lukewarm Christian or nominal Christian or a carnal Christian. All these are Christians are people, or people, whether they're saved or not, who are controlled by their bodies, by their, we call it your human nature. Sometimes you hear it called the flesh. But God doesn't want you to be, you can't. See, because see, the Lord, when he comes back, he's seeking a people who have faith, who has said, Lord, change me. Turn me into the person you want me to be, Lord. And I think that's what's happening in the church now. People are coming in and saying, I want to be a member of the church. And I acknowledge God. I acknowledge Jesus Christ in my, that he lives. Well, acknowledging has nothing to do with it. It's believeth upon. It says you have to believe. That means you have to place your will and your trust and all that power you have through your free will. And it's almost, I think people understand what keeps us away from God, and that this is what I want to get to, is to relinquish our ego, E-G-O, our egos, so that we can get, so we can go to God, who is G-O-D, to relinquish our ego, and it stands for, ego is an acronym for some of us, like I said, edging God out. Edging God out of our lives. Your ego pushes God away. I say, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. And that ends up being, I can work for it. You know, I got, or I can work and I can do enough good that God is not going to be able to think about not allowing me into the pearly gates. And the Lord says, he's going to try to let you understand that this is the prelim that shows us what our pride is. What pride is. And this is the monster that you're dealing with that keeps you from believing, is pride. Let me show you pride. Let's go to Job. And I'm through, because my time is up. Oh, I might not be able to get there and go there. But let me hurry up and do this. In the book of Job, in chapter 38, Job finally gets his what he had said he wanted, his day in court. And as God, as the officer that comes out as a lawyer, and he just asked Jesus. He asked Job, I'm sorry, he asked Job questions. And he told him, he said, gird up your loins of your mind like a man, and I wouldn't abandon thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when thou laid the foundation of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. He goes on down through this diatribe of questions. He never stopped. He was relentless at pounding into Job. What do you know? What do you think you really know? Yeah, you're a respected man. You're someone I said I know you'll never turn away from me. But do you really know me? Do you really know me? And he gets down to this part where he talks about Leviathan. And Leviathan is shown to be a monster that is so powerful, so strong, that no one can defeat him. And God built a monster that was so powerful. So he talks about the behemoth in chapter 40. And it talks about that he eats grass like an ox, but he is really, he's built in it, and it's almost, his bones are, as in 18, as strong as brass. His bones are like bars of iron. But really what God is trying to show us, he's showing us a monster that cannot be defeated. A monster, think about it, has so much power that as a man, there's nothing you can do to rid yourself of him once he seeks to devour you. And we need to understand that's the power of our will. We need to understand that's the power of pride, ego. See, God can't take you until you're broken. He can't use unbroken horses. This thing called Leviathan, and he uses it as an image of pride. And once you realize that you can't defeat it, you have to open up your heart and ask God to come in and save you, to help you, so that you can believe it on him. It's Satan. It's Satan. You're part of Satan's family. He says you're born, you're just like your your father, the father of lies. Children are liars. People come out of the womb as a liar. They come out not able to know God. And that's why you need to believe upon Jesus. You need him. You need him in the pardoning of your sins, brothers and sisters. You need him. I need him. You need to trust him today. You need to be born again. You need to let him change your mind and your heart and believeth on the only begotten Son of Man, of God. God bless you. My time is up. See you at the rapture. Believe in him. He's coming back soon. Lord, bless us today. Watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, that's 26 minutes and 21 seconds.
Wow.
We're born again, though.